Welcome here, and I'm going to give the microphone over to him symbolically. You have your own?
Yes, I do.
Just in case you need this.
What's this? Just kidding. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Yeah, it's a great day to be alive and to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? And I'm always delighted to be here with my dear friends, Rabbi Alan and Rebbetzin Diane, because not only do we connect well as people, but I know them as sincere lovers of Yeshua and sincere lovers of people. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give them a little applause. Yay! Thank you, worship team, for a wonderful worship experience. And as the young people came up, I believe the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, spoke to me. And I want to speak to Tony and the entire group that God is going to give you, He's already given you inspiration from heaven on how to gather these millennials. But He is going to be giving you fresh inspiration, not just you, Tony, but other members of your youth group. He's going to be giving you fresh inspiration from heaven on how to gather these millennials so that they can experience the love and power of Yeshua in their lives. So expect that. Join your faith together and expect that. And this inspiration will not only, again, come from you, Tony, but it'll come from some of your quiet members as well. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are these? These are glasses. I only use these to look more intelligent, you know. Okay. Well, we just got back from a trip, my wife and I. We were 4 weeks in Belarus. We were 5 weeks in Israel, where we have teams in both of these countries. And we also have teams in India, as you know. And for me, when I come back here, my goal is always the same. One, I thank God for your partnership. I know many of you pray for us and the congregation, and many of you individually support us as well, send us a few shekels to help us accomplish the work out in these different nations. But also, I don't only come to encourage you about what God is doing through our partnership in Israel, Belarus, and India, but I come to encourage you for what God is doing in you individually and together. And that is my heartfelt goal, both of them. And I want to pick up on where I left off the last time I was here. And if you remember the last time I was here, many of you made a renewed commitment to keep your love hot for God and your love hot for people. How many of you remember that? Okay, that's good, a few of you. Anybody else? Come on, encourage me. Okay, well, that's what we did. And many of you came right up here to recommit yourselves to the Lord to keep your love hot for Him and your love hot for people, because these are the two great commandments. And upon these two great commandments, Yeshua said, the whole Torah hangs. It's kind of the summary of everything God was saying in the Tanakh. Hot love, complete surrender for the Lord, and love for people. And we know that to truly love people, we need to be concerned about their everyday life situations and problems, but not only. We need to show kindness and concern, but not only. We need to be concerned about their relationship with God and their eternal destiny, because we are eternal beings and God wants to be with us forever and eternity. And as Rabbi so explained so well, the Messiah is our bridge. The Messiah is our way. Yeshua is our life, very life, and His life is eternal. And so when He dwells in us, our life is forever with God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of heaven and earth. And so We had a great time together yesterday. I just flew into Melbourne. And I'm going to tell you this, not to boast in myself, but because I want to inspire you. I was in Melbourne from, I landed at about 4:30, and then we had time together downtown, and then we had dinner together with Rabbi and Rebbetzin, and then I was in my hotel at 8:30, so that's about 4 hours, right? In 4 hours, because it's on my radar, because I know that the love of God dwells in me, because I know the same power that raised Yeshua from the dead is in me, and even though I'm kind of broken and wounded like all the rest of us here, I know this is in me, and I know this is part of my destiny to let it flow out. This is why I'm on this earth. This is one of the big reasons, other than to be with my beloved wife and grandkids and children. You know, that's a lot of fun too. And my wife Chantal sends warm greetings. She loves to be here, but couldn't this weekend. And by the way, she's my best friend and partner in ministry, just so you know. 39 years. Wow. 4 kids, 9 grandkids later. But this resurrection power and this love is in me. And even though, like you, sometimes I have a hard time staying focused and tuning into it, you know, I kind of get a lot of fuzz on the channel, I am intentional, and we all need to be, about connecting real good to that love and letting it flow to our family members, our spiritual family, and to the people all around us. And so in 4 hours, I had the opportunity to pray for 2 people and to share the love of God and the good news of Yeshua with a total of 6 people. It ain't because, you don't mind if I speak bad New York English, do you? It ain't because I'm anybody special. It's because this is for you and for me. It's because this is the way He made us when we were born again into the kingdom of God. And we just need to keep it on our radar. See, wherever I'm going, we went to the beach, and it was on my radar. Diane and I were praising God, and Alan, who's also from New York like me, he was feeling like he was getting a little too much fresh air, you know. And so we were just praising God there and enjoying the, you know, the fresh breeze and the awesomeness of the ocean and the sky. And then this woman comes walking up, and I'm praying inside. It's on my radar. There's another person. And so I just talk. You know, I just say something. I say, you enjoying the beauty of the day? And she said something back. And so I said something back, and I don't remember exactly what. But then the next thing, I'm talking about the glory of God who made this whole thing, you know. And she's responding. So she's taking a step in. And then I'm taking another step in. And eventually I found out that her husband was a minister. He passed away a couple of years ago. And I understood that she had been really shaken. Although her husband had great faith and never doubted for a minute he was going to be in eternity in heaven, she was quite shaken. And so I just said, can I pray for you? And as I prayed, the Lord gave me kind of words for her. It doesn't always happen, you know, but it happens because He likes to do that, you know. And He gave me words for her in the prayer, and I was able to encourage her. And I'm addicted to this stuff. I tell you honestly, and I'm looking to get worse. I want to be more addicted so that if any day goes by where I'm around people and I'm kind of shut up and shut down and I'm all within me and my problems. I mean, if I'm meditating on the Lord and that's where God wants me, okay. But if I'm just kind of cold, you know, or I'm kind of just into me, you know what I mean? And my agenda, you know, I don't want that. I want to be addicted to being, and you don't have to be an extrovert. I am. But you know, my wife's an introvert. Two microphones. That means God really wants you to hear what I have to say today. Okay. Should I get rid of this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell about Mary.
Okay. What's that?
Mary.
I'm gonna, yeah.
Hang on.
And so we're just gonna keep loving people into the kingdom of God. Okay. One at a time. You know, that's the modus operandi of Reach Initiative International, the ministry that me and my wife founded and direct that has these teams in Israel, India, and Belarus. That is our modus operandi, to love people into the kingdom of God one at a time. Because I'm not an evangelist. People think I am. Did you think I was?
No.
Yeah, good. All right, I'm not an evangelist. My wife's not an evangelist, but the Lord spoke to me and He said, I'm going to use your life as an example and an inspiration to my people of one who is not an evangelist, but carries my heart for the lost. Carries my heart for those people who have been blinded by the God of this world, but whose eyes the God of heaven and earth wants to open. And so if you're not an evangelist, you have no excuse either. If you're not an extrovert, you have no excuse. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you feel good. Feel good about walking out of this door today and say there's a whole world waiting for me. There's a whole world. And when I give myself away in love, I get filled up. I often like to use the example of the hose. You know, when you water your garden, what gets wet first? The hose. We're the hose. When we water His garden out there, we get wet with His love and His word and His healing. Sometimes just those big problems that we have just get washed away as we're focusing on meeting the needs of others. And isn't this the life that the Lord has called us to? To bow the knee constantly, to serve and to bless others. It's the way we're wired. It's the way we're wired. You know, sometimes I use the analogy of getting in, you know, think of the most beautiful brand new car you can imagine and the best highway that you've ever driven on. Maybe it's like a Mercedes or a BMW. And you get into this brand new, you get this gift, this brand new BMW, you know, and you're ready to cruise down that best highway. It's smooth as silk, that highway. And you get in the trunk and you start to try to go. And you go, I thought this was a good car. What's wrong with this thing? I ain't getting nowhere and I feel boxed in, Rabbi. Well, we all know that cars were not meant to be driven from the trunk, right? And here's another little secret. Human beings were not created to live for me, myself, and I. And especially born again human beings. We were created to live for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And when we live that way, we have a satisfying and fulfilled life. Some people lose their sense of excitement in the Lord because they're overly focused on their problems, their needs, and it's boring to be focused there. It's like a drag, isn't it? It's probably why He says, whatever is beautiful, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 8, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Now, I'm not saying never give attention to your problems and your needs. You're not hearing me say that, right? What I'm talking about is your focus in life, your heart.
your heart and your focus in life. See, I want my heart and my focus to be constantly to live for His glory and to let rivers of living water and life and truth and love flow out of me. This is the focus of my life. And then I know Stuart's also going to be taken care of, well taken care of. His emotional needs, his physical needs, his spiritual needs, and all of that will be well taken care of. It's the way Yeshua said it. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things. So ladies, I want you to keep shopping. Men, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I want you to keep shopping. But when you shop, you are in all these stores, not for your buying, but for all the other ladies that are out there shopping, many of them thinking that the only way they can get fulfillment today is to buy one more thing. Come on, you with me, guys? It's okay? Give them a small allowance, you know. They won't need much now. Okay. And guys, I don't know what you do in your free time. Maybe some of you guys are golfers or whatever. You're not out on the course just to enjoy. You're there to enjoy. I hope you golf okay. But you're out there for all of those other guys that are lost in darkness and blinded to the glory and love of a Father who's waiting for them to embrace them through you. Amen. Through you. So ladies, let them golf a little bit, you know? All right? All right, we made peace now.
Your offering just went up by a lot.
Okay. I think the guys are going to increase my offering today, too. It's good. Okay. All that money I just saved you with your wife shopping. See that? All right. So this is what it's all about. And, you know, sometimes I ask myself, what if? I recently heard the story of a woman from Australia who was an orphan and sexually abused as a child for 12 years. She was broken, hurt, and angry. But someone cared enough to step into her darkness and to love on her and to share the good news of Yeshua. And today, she leads a ministry that reaches tens of thousands of trafficked human beings. Human trafficking. She reaches tens of thousands through her ministry. An unlikely candidate. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'm an unlikely candidate. And God's saying those are the perfect candidates because He wants to get all of the glory. You are the perfect candidate. He found me, perfect candidate. Unlikely. Unlikely. Unwilling at the beginning, too. Maybe some of you are unwilling as well. Oy vey. Oy vey. And then I think almost 39 years ago, there was a young lady, 19 years old. She was living a wild life, into the occult, drugs, and all of this kind of stuff. But some guy by the name of Stuart, he wasn't a rabbi then, reached out and shared with her the love of Yeshua and the good news. She's my wife, Chantal. And she has touched thousands of lives since then around the world. What if Stuart didn't care enough to reach out? And then I think about an Italian guy by the name of Michael who cared enough to deal with this wild and crazy guy by the name of Stuart 40 years ago. Me. Man, and I look back, he sacrificed so much for me. And both my wife and I talk about it. You know, both of us were so wild, we didn't think we would live to 30. Really, it was in our minds. We're so crazy, we probably won't make it to 30. And some of you in my generation probably read Jack Kerouac. Anybody read Jack Kerouac? I thought I was another Jack Kerouac. I'm going to be dead. I think he died in his mid-30s. I thought I'd be dead like him, you know, but I was living on the edge in order to feel alive. And then an Italian guy by the name of Michael showed me what real life looked like, and he made a lot of sacrifices for me in order to be rooted and grounded in the kingdom of God in Yeshua's love and truth. What if Michael didn't care? Well, what if he stopped making the sacrifices? I don't know. And what if when God called me and my wife to move our four children to Belarus in 1995, when all the people, speak to the Russian speakers in your congregation, they were all fleeing from that part of the world. Belarus is located between Poland and Russia. They were all fleeing from the former Soviet Union, and we're going with our four children. They say, what, are you crazy? Why are you going there? We're all running from there. What if I said, oh yeah, I'm crazy. Why would I go there? You know, it's all broken. It's messed up. I have the good life here. I was in my dream home with my wife in upstate New York. Why leave that? Because the love of God compelled us. What if we said, oh, the cost is too much to take our four children? Hundreds of Jewish people had their lives transformed because we said yes. Not because we're special. No. Because he is special and we just said yes to him. He's special. Yeshua is special and we said yes to him. And he used us in our weakness to reach atheists, drug addicts, alcoholics, Jewish people who thought there was no God. Lives transformed by the Messiah of Israel. And he gave us this tremendous burden for Holocaust survivors. And we've been serving Holocaust survivors for 23 years. And in the last few years, the Lord said, bring this ministry to the land of Israel. And he opened the door wide for us and gave us tremendous favor. It's a totally different culture, by the way, these two worlds, Belarus and Israel, and then think of India and America. Different worlds, you know? But it's grace. It's grace. His grace. His grace empowers you for what he calls you to. A good definition of grace is the empowerment of God to do what he calls you to do. And so, I just had this awesome time of celebrating both Purim and Pesach in four different cities where we minister to Holocaust survivors in Israel. We celebrated Purim in two and Pesach in two different cities. And, you know, it's like amazing to be there with these very special people who survived the Holocaust. They're special people because they went through something that no one can really imagine. And to stand before them with a heart full of compassion and share about Passover, both the wonders that God did through Moses and the wonders that God did through the ultimate Passover lamb, and to illustrate to them how the three matzah really demonstrates that Yeshua, the Father, the Son, the Ruach, Yeshua was broken for us, just like the prophet would say. And they would say to me, oh, we had never heard anything like this. And we were experiencing such goodness in our souls while you were speaking. Thank you so much for sharing with us. How can they know if someone don't tell them? How can they know? How can they make a choice even if someone don't tell them? And so it's one of my great joys, and we have made a commitment. We love to love on the young and the old and everybody in between. We serve orphans. We serve young Israelis in India. We bring the gospel to them through our Sunrise Messianic Center that the Lord had us build in the Himalayas. But I can tell you one of my great joys today is just to love on Holocaust survivors. Really is, you know. And the trademark of our ministry with Holocaust survivors is relationship. They often say to us, we're so grateful that you do things not only for us, but you do things with us. And the center and the trademark of our ministry to survivors is to develop relationships where they are welcoming us in their homes. Because when they welcome us in their homes, and there are hundreds of them that are welcoming us in their homes, when they welcome us in their homes, then we can serve them better in practical ways, and also we give Yeshua a better chance to open their hearts to His great love and salvation. I want to show you a video. We organize vacation retreats for Holocaust survivors, and this occurred at our last one. We're doing another one soon. This occurred at our last one. Check this out.
Пятницу вечером где-то в Володю было. И он мне говорит, как самочувствие, как здоровье? Я говорю, знаешь, что все хорошо, если бы только колени не болели. Я говорю, тяжело ходить. Он мне говорит, давай сядем, посидим. И он берет мои колени в свои руки. И Владимир обращается к Ишуа и просит, чтобы Ишуа мне помог. Прошло где-то минут 10. И я почувствовал тепло, идущее в колени. Владимир мне говорит, поблагодари Ишуа за то, что тебе стало легче. Я поблагодарил Ишуа за это. Он говорит, а теперь встань и пройдись. Я не прошелся, а я бегом по этой площадке. И до сих пор, я не вру вам, до сих пор я стою перед вами, и я не чувствую никакой боли в коленях. Вот. И я считаю, что это просьба Владимира Ишуа, его обращение в мою пользу, вылечила меня от коленей, от боли в коленях. Я не знаю, сколько это продлится, но, по крайней мере, в это время я могу вам продемонстрировать, что хотите. Я могу спрыгнуть оттуда. Но скажите, пожалуйста, вчера вы не можете делать так. Я не то, что вчера, я до 5 часов вечера сегодня не мог.
Аллилуйя.
Аллилуйя.
Сказать аллилуйя. Это наш Бог, Израиль, Мессия, Иешуа, который воскрес из мертвых, который исцелял наш дорогой брат. Аллилуйя.
Аллилуйя. This is our God. You know, and recently God kind of convicted me. There was a period of time when I was seeing people healed often. And I didn't pray for Yosef. One of our elders did. And the Lord said, you know, I didn't stop healing. You stop praying. And He said, all my people can pray and see people healed. All my people can pray. It's Jesus, Yeshua in you. I'm not a healer. Our elder's not a healer. It's Yeshua who's the healer. This was an amazing introduction to the next thing I want to show you. In all of the years, 22 years that I had been serving Holocaust survivors, I never felt in a large group to do what we call an altar call, to invite them to receive Yeshua in a large group. All of the ones, and more than 50 survivors, have come to know Yeshua in the last 23 years. Hallelujah. All of them came either one-on-one or in groups of 2 or 3. So this is the first time ever that I told my whole team, pray for Thursday night. I'm going to invite them. I believe this is the Lord wants me to invite them to receive salvation. And this was the introduction. I mean, could I have planned this? No. This was the introduction, and this is what happens next. Show 17 survivors praying to receive Yeshua.
Now, during this retreat and in other situations, many of you have experienced His supernatural love and comfort. во время нашего ретрита, и не только, многие из вас уже переживали Его сверхъестественную любовь и утешение.
And some of you have experienced His miraculous healing power in your body.
Кто-то из вас также уже пережил Его чудотворную силу исцелять наши тела.
So I feel moved by Yeshua to give you an invitation.
Поэтому я чувствую действительно, что Иешуа движет мной сделать вам определенное приглашение.
If you want to receive Him and honor Him as your Savior and Messiah, I ask you to raise your hand and we'll pray together.
Если вы хотите принять Его в свое сердце, как своего Господа, как своего Спасителя и Мессию, то я прошу, чтобы вы просто вот в знак, что хотите это сделать, подняли свою руку, и мы вместе с вами будем молиться.
Just raise your hand high if this is your desire.
Если вы этого хотите, поднимите руку высоко. Мы хотим молиться вместе с вами.
If this prayer reflects your heart, you pray it with your voice.
Если молитва, которую сейчас я буду говорить, отражает то, что внутри вашего сердца, то, пожалуйста, повторяйте эту молитву за мной.
Аллилуйя. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, we don't stop there and neither should you. We had our team go as quickly as possible to each one of them and find out what they understood. And then when they went back home, we stay close to them like family. And because of that, many of them are reading the Bible now, praying in the name of Yeshua, and slowly moving forward in their relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to hear from Lev Simonovich. This is the last video clip I'm going to show you. Lev Simonovich is, you know, I love all of the survivors, but certain ones just grab my heart. You know, it's the way it is. Lev is one of them. He's 99 years old in this video. This is last summer. He will be 100 this June. He told me we'll celebrate together. I think I'll be around. And so I'm going to be in Belarus to celebrate with him his 100th birthday in June. And this is what Lev said. Just hang on to it for 1 minute. See, Dima takes care of him like a son would a father. Dima's one of the members of our team. And Lev loves Dima so much that he actually gave him the key to his flat so Dima could come in any time because Lev doesn't always hear well. And Dima told Lev that he was going to be meeting me in Poland where we were doing our 13th annual Camp Chalutzim. We do a camp every year to serve about 100 teenagers and children. And by the way, Tony, for your 18 to 35-ish year olds, I want to invite you to Camp Chalutzim this year. You can find it on our website, reachii.org, the dates and all of it. The Holy Spirit moves powerfully at this camp. And you can speak to Talia and different ones that have been. Charlotte's been to our camps. I would like to see some of your young people, if God so moves you, 18 to 35-ish, join us this summer at Camp Chalutzim. God moves powerfully and your young people will come back with a new passion for the Lord. Always happens. Always happens. And so Dima told Lev that I'm going to see Stuart and Chantal in Poland at this camp. And Dima said, if you want to send them a message, I'll put it on my phone and video it. And Lev said yes. This is what he said.
Stuart, с вами говорит Лев Семенович, которому вы все время оказываете внимание, приветы и прочее. Я верю в то, что жизнь не заканчивается, а входит в вечность. Это я поверил благодаря знакомству с вами и моим другом, Димой Селихановым. Вот. Мне исполнилось 99 лет, и сегодня еще один месяц добавился. Надеюсь, что вера в Бога и общение с вами и с вашей общиной продлит мне этот этап в жизни и передаст меня в вечность. Это меня держит, поддерживает. Еще раз говорю спасибо и надеюсь еще на встречу с вами. До свидания.
Hallelujah. Isn't that precious? I want to extend to you an opportunity. We are going to be holding another vacation retreat, 3 days for the survivors. And if God so moves you, you can sponsor. It's not expensive. One survivor for $60. You can sponsor a survivor to this vacation retreat, which is a dynamic opportunity for the Lord for $60. And even better yet, if you really have a heart to reach survivors and want to partner with us, we invite you to become a monthly partner at $30 a month to help us to care. $30 a month help us to care for one survivor. And I like to say this at the end of that. We believe in the local congregation. Therefore, please do not reduce your tithe in order to support our work. This is above your tithe, and God will either ask you to partner with us. You just pray, you ask Him. He will either have you partner with us out of your abundance or to make a sacrifice. But don't reduce your tithe here, because God wants the tithe to come to this congregation where you're a part of, okay? So those are opportunities, and I encourage you to get a hold of this literature out at the table. It shows you some of our team members that are serving day after day in the three nations that I met, and on the back you have our different initiatives different things about those. And so it can help you to pray for us. And if you want to be on our newsletter list, you can use the enclosed card for that, or you can sign up on the sheets out there, and you can also make your financial gift using the card and the envelope either here today during the offering or when you go home. Or you can go to our website. When you get the literature, you can find that as well. Because as you know, the work that we do around the world takes people that are partnering with us, praying and supporting us, otherwise we couldn't do it. And so we're very grateful for all of our friends and partners that pray and support. I want to conclude with the last few minutes. So yesterday, we were having dinner and with Rabbi Allen and Diane, Rebbitz and Diane, and our waitress was a very nice lady serving us. And I've learned to develop certain habits in my life that will help me keep on my radar to love people. And so one of the habits I've developed is, no matter who it is or where it is, anybody that serves me, automatically they get prayer inside of myself. And I begin also to ask the Lord, in addition to blessing them in prayer, I begin to ask the Lord, is there something I can speak to them? Is there something I can pray for them, you know, openly? Is there some way I can bless them? So, as was my habit, I immediately started praying for our waitress while I'm enjoying fellowship with these two wonderful people. And eventually I kick up a conversation. And I ask her name, and she says her name is Mary. And I thought, interesting, probably Catholic, I don't know. I love Catholics, I love all people, you know, my wife grew up in a Catholic home. And so I said that exact thing, you know, I like to, I use Jesus. Jesus taught me to love people, And one of the ways that I can do it is if somebody serves me, I can offer to pray for them. So I said, is there anything you would like me to pray for? And she's kind of a happy, bubbly kind of lady. And she says, more of the same. I said, well, okay, I'll pray that. And I'll pray that you get a revelation in your life today of how beloved you are of the God who made all of this. He's really a father to you. And that Jesus came to make it all real and alive in your life. And she thanked me. And so I prayed together with Rabbi and Rebbetzin. And then when she came back, I told her that we had prayed for her. And then I think she came back another time, and she gave us the bill, and she said, Shabbat Shalom. Wow. And we're all going, okay, Mary or Miriam here, you know? And she came back, and we discovered that she's Jewish and that she's pretty serious about her Judaism, but she didn't seem offended by Rabbi inviting her to congregation and me talking about Yeshua and so on. And there was a great connection between Rebbetzin and her as well. And so we're going to keep praying for her. And I know that Rabbi and Rebbetzin, they're going to go back to eat there, not just because the food's good, but because Miriam is there. And if Miriam was sitting here today, I would say this, it's because we love you, Miriam. It's because God's love is working in our hearts for you. We don't love you with our fleshly love, our human love. We love you with a supernatural love that's much bigger than our own love. And all of you have this wonderful supernatural love living inside you. And I want to conclude with something that I've shared with you before. Some of you say, okay, I'm an introvert, we dealt with that. Some of you said, I'm not an evangelist, we dealt with that. Now, others of you say, well, I'm just not so good at connecting to people. I'm not very good at loving on people. And here's what I want to say to you. Yes, you are. And I'm not a liar. You just haven't entered into it. I can tell you that when Yitzhak Perlman started playing the violin, he was not very good at it. I can tell you that when Michael Jordan started playing basketball, he was not very good at it. Who knows Michael Jordan? Come on, even the ladies know Michael Jordan. He was not very good at it. But you know how Yitzhak got good at the violin? He trained, he practiced, and he studied. Do you know how Michael Jordan got good at basketball? He practiced and he studied. You are good at loving people because the great lover is inside you. And you know how it's going to manifest in greater and greater ways? You're going to do the same thing I do. I practice and I study. And every time I fall on my face, I fail forward. Every time I fall on my face, I fail forward. And you will too. We can do this. We must do this. Yeshua is waiting on us, and the world around us is waiting on us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, one last slide and then we pray. Can we get that photo up? I don't know. Maybe we're crazy. We probably are. But God gave us a vision to build the first ever Messianic Jewish synagogue and ministry center in the history of the nation of Belarus. The first ever in the history of the nation. This is the nation that, after being an honored guest for 12 years, I was kicked out and exiled for 5 years. Then they let me back in to do our humanitarian work to serve Holocaust survivors, but they said, you're not going to ever preach again. But you know what? Last year, they gave me permission to preach and teach at a few Shabbat services in a retreat. And this year, in February, from February 3rd to February 20th, they gave me permission to preach 8 messages and to meet freely with our volunteers to discuss spiritual things. This is a miracle. And so this is going to take more miracles, but we are planning to break ground on this first ever Messianic Jewish Ministry Center and Synagogue this May. This has a 300-seat hall, 10,000 or so square feet, and it will be a lighthouse to the Jewish world of Belarus and to the entire country. That's the vision for it, to multiply the impact of Yeshua on the Jewish community and the entire nation. And so the members of our congregation, we have 4, are sacrificing, but the average wage in Belarus is about $300, $350 per month. Not a week, a month. And so obviously we're going to need help, just like there was a time when the saints, the believers in Jerusalem, needed help from outside. We're going to need help to accomplish this. If God moves your heart to give $10 or $1,000 or $10,000, whatever it might be, just respond to the Lord. And we made a decision that everybody from outside of the nation of Belarus who gives anything, $10 or $10,000, we are going to treat it equally in honor and put your name on the wall of thanksgiving in this Messianic synagogue. Okay, I know usually you got to give this amount to get your name up, but the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't think that's how I do it, you know. So I said, okay, anybody, any amount. Just be obedient to the Lord, and together we'll accomplish this with our brothers and sisters in Belarus. And be praying if God puts it on your heart, because we need a lot of miracles, just like I got the miracle of getting back to preach and teach. But we have all the paperwork that we need. We have the government permission, and if all goes well, we'll be breaking ground this May. So that's another opportunity. And if you do donate to this, please make sure you indicate in some way Messianic Synagogue or Messianic Center, okay? So we know that we'll send your donation that way, exactly how you designate it, and we'll put your name on the wall of thanksgiving when the building is complete. Okay, I want to read this scripture. This is the last of my 10 conclusions. Every good minister has to have at least 10 conclusions, right? This is the scripture I want to read. This is Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I want you to hear it in a new way, and it's from a paraphrased translation called The Message. It goes like this. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. I like that. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, this is Yeshua speaking. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. That's a very Jewish value, hospitality. Keep your house open. Be generous with your lives. By opening to others, you'll prompt people to open with God, your generous Father in heaven. Now, there might be some of you here that say, I want this life. I want to be a light. The way it begins is when you allow the light of the world, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua, to come into your life, because he's here now He died for our sins, and He rose from the dead. Can I get a musician up here, please? Thank you so much. So this is an invitation. If you've never, this is an opportunity. No pressure. It's just if something's happening in your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to express it today. If you have never embraced the light of the world, the true lover of your soul, your Savior, your bridge to eternity, who died for me and you to take our sins. Let's turn the volume down on that a little bit, please. Can we get your volume a little lower? Thank you. I want to give you this opportunity to respond to Him. So if you've never embraced Him in this way and you want to embrace Him now, just shoot your hand up, okay? Is there anybody here that would like to do that? I'm going to give you two words of encouragement on this. One, you're in a spiritual battle right now, and the forces of darkness want to keep you from raising your hand. But God's love wants to propel you up to embrace Yeshua. Go with God's love. Go with God's love. Okay? Anybody here want to shoot that hand up? Okay, I'm going to pray for y'all. And if God is working in your heart and you didn't feel like you wanted to do this publicly here, let me encourage you to meet with me or the rabbi or one of the elders or the Rebbetzin here and talk it through with them. Maybe you have some questions, that's okay. But don't miss the moment if God is really working in your heart, okay? I want to pray for everyone here now. Father, we just thank You for Your amazing love for us. New every morning are Your mercies, Your grace and Your kindness is beyond our ability to truly fathom. And we just rejoice that You are so faithful to us, that You are with us and faithful when we fail and we're not faithful, that You are always for us and You are never against us. We are Your beloved sons and daughters. And You want us to be rejoicing in Your presence today, tomorrow, and every day on this earth and on into eternity. Thank You so much for this, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters who already have the light of the world dwelling in their hearts. I pray, Father, like never before, they would become addicted to letting Your love and goodness flow out of them, to their physical family, their spiritual family, and to the people all around, Father God. And especially also to those that don't yet know You, that You especially put on their hearts. Lord, let them be perseverant with faith. And for those that do not yet, have not yet made the decision to embrace the light of the world, Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, I pray, Father, that You continue to draw them like a gentle shepherd drawing his sheep back to Him, like a loving father calling his sons and daughters back, Father God. And I pray that You give them clear revelation and understanding that this is the best decision a human being can ever make in their lives. And for Jewish people, it's the most Jewish thing that we can do, because we're not embracing a strange religion or a strange God. We're embracing the Messiah that's been promised to our people through centuries and thousands of years. Father, bless everyone here. And may Your glory shine in and through us more and more, deeper, fuller, as we go out to play the violin of life like Yitzhak Perlman, and to play the basketball of life like Michael Jordan, and to love people into Your kingdom one at a time. Thank You, Father. We bless You in the name of of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Stewart. Okay, I'm going to say two.